Hi, it's Dan from A Bunch of Nuts, and you know, before we start this episode, I want to talk to you about mybookie.com. That's MyBookie. You know, a lot of people ask me who to bet on, and I'm not really sure who's going to win, but I do tell them to use MyBookie. And MyBookie.com, let me tell you, if you use promo code NUTS25, that's NUTS25, they will match you dollar for dollar, your deposit, dollar for dollar, and they'll give you an additional $25 on top of that. So make sure you go to MyBookie.com and use promo code NUTS25 to get started. Hello, and welcome back to episode 21 of A Bunch of Nuts. It's Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. And Big Cass, what a week, man.
Yeah, it's been an outstanding week, busy week for me, because I won't be on next week's episode, because there's a big day going on this Saturday coming up. But last Saturday, going back to last Saturday, how's that crow taste?
Yeah. You know, I was getting pretty nervous there, Big Cass. I'm not going to lie. I thought it looked pretty bleak at about the 7-8 minute mark. It looked like that Penn State had us, man. I'm not going to lie. I thought they had us where they wanted us.
Yeah, I was about to dish myself some crow in the deep fryer with some gravy and some mashed potatoes, because that's I thought right then and there, if Ben Victor didn't make the play of the year so far, in my opinion, then we could be looking at a Penn State 2-touchdown victory.
I'm so glad Urban Meyer actually listens to this podcast and actually listens to her advice, you know, like throw it to Ben Victor and put KJ Hill back there and everything. I mean, it's just crazy, man.
Yeah, like, Ben Victor reminds me of somebody that plays in Cincinnati, in my opinion. His name is AJ Green. Just the skill set, and I think you're going to see Victor play a lot more.
Absolutely. I mean, that play, Big Cass, if you watch it like frame by frame, his body was contorted all the way to the left to make this, like, you know, behind him to make this ridiculous catch. And then he gets hit, breaks the first hit, breaks another one, and then houses it, what, like 50 yards?
Yeah, it seemed like it. But how about, and then the following, okay, then Ohio State holds Penn State to, you know, a drive stall. Penn State, I thought, should have went for a field goal, in my opinion. But they decide to punt, and then Dwayne Haskins leads 96-yard drive, throwing screen passes to KJ Hill and J.K. Dobbins. And the first play of that drive, how about the 45-yard screen pass to J.K. Dobbins?
Yeah, funny thing about that, Big Cass. So at the time, I was playing my girlfriend in fantasy football, and I won this week by less than a full point. But that run right there, it brought my girlfriend back in the game, and I think at one point she was leading because of that. But the funny thing about that drive, though, as I was getting kind of off topic, is the fact that Ohio State, they kind of took, if you watch, they took advantage of Penn State really trying to get after Haskins. And what I mean is, they ran three screens and they ran the ball once with Mike Weber. And that they scored off of four plays real quick short, easy, plays that Penn State was just basically going all out after Haskins. And then once you get it past the line of scrimmage, the Ohio State athletes were just dominant, superior.
Go back to the wide receiver screen pass to KJ Hill for the touchdown. Not only was Haskins' footwork outstanding and eluding the pressure, but how about Terry McLaurin taking out three Penn State defenders, allowing KJ Hill to score a touchdown?
Absolutely. You know what I love about this receiver group, Big Cass, is the fact that the wide receivers make plays when the ball isn't in their hands. And yes, that Terry McLaurin block is an example, but another thing I like to point out is when Johnny Dixon, ball gets intercepted because, Rashad Berry, tips it in the air. The guy looks like he's going to return it for a touchdown. Johnny Dixon runs full speed from the other side of the field, and stops a pick six, basically. It almost strips the ball, gives him a nice little karate chop. And that is just such a great football, hustle play. That's something in the film room. That and the Terry McLaurin blocks that they're going crazy about. I mean, that's good football right there.
Yeah, it was outstanding football. Johnny Dixon with that play and Terry McLaurin blocking, Ben Victor's catch for a touchdown. Austin Mack had some good catches. CJ Saunders got a little look out there. How about KJ Hill's one-handed screen pass on that one drive? That was an outstanding catch.
Absolutely.
But the drops are still bothering me. I think what they are is they're used to Barrett, not Haskins will zip the pass in there. Barrett never really zipped the ball in there, and I think that's why we're seeing some drops.
I agree. I think sometimes these receivers don't realize how fast the ball's coming out of Haskins' hands. It's almost like the John Elway effect. His receivers back in the day used to complain the ball came out too quick. But that's a good problem to have, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, before we get more into the depth, I got to call out some Penn State fans here. Penn State fans complaining that Trace McSorley, keep in mind, folks, Trace McSorley had a Heisman moment type game. He was a flat-out baller. The reason why he's outside of Ohio State players. He's one of my favorite Big Ten players. But the fact that you sat there and said that Haskins did not do nothing and did not deserve the Big Ten championship, Big Ten Player of the Week, is astonishing because if you take it back, most of those passes weren't on Haskins. Yeah, he had a couple overthrows, but the four drops by the receivers kept Penn State in that game the first half. I thought those were drive killers, in my opinion. And the fourth quarter, he was outstanding.
He was.
Show me a better quarterback in the fourth quarter in the wideout in the country.
You know what, Big Cass? And I couldn't agree with you more on that because – here's one thing about this. The four drops right away, they were obvious. The Paris Campbell on the screen. We had one right through KJ Hill's hands over the middle. Both would have went for first downs. Rashad Berry wide open over the middle. Drops up. Bats one up that ends up being intercepted. That's not on Haskins. And I forgot the other drop. There are so many. But the fact that, though, what bothered me about it was – some Penn State fans and people were saying, oh, Haskins looks like a deer in the headlights. And I disagreed. I disagree with that because I think he was locked in from the start. He was making solid throws all night. It just wasn't – the offense wasn't blocking. Receivers weren't catching. And on top of it, the one play that I really liked from Haskins that, really showed some fire from him was on that interception. If you watched, he went after Sharif Miller, who's like, a big, big defensive end.
He laid Sharif Miller out.
Yeah.
How in the world did, in my opinion, Sharif Miller instigated that whole thing, and a penalty wasn't called on him. It was called
It was him, Haskins, Isaiah Prince, and Victor. They all got offsetting, but yeah, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, Sharif Miller instigated it, and Sharif Miller, honestly, did Sharif Miller really have that good of a game?
I think he might have had like a sack or a big hit, but you know who had a spectacular game as a DN? Chase Young.
The Predator.
I love that, dude. I mean, how fitting is it? Have you, all right, you know the new Predator movie that has the dude from Key and Peele in it?
Yeah.
Well, he's a Penn State fan, and
I think he graduated from Penn State.
Yeah, and in that movie, apparently his character gets killed. Well, I mean, that's what basically Chase Young was, the Predator, and killed, you know, Keegan-Michael Key's hopes and dreams on Saturday with his play. I mean, Chase Young, man, was that Nick Bosa?
No, it was Chase Young.
Are you I couldn't tell, man. Like that. I mean, he looked literally like Nick Bosa or Joey Bosa out there with his play. It was you know, amazing.
Jonathan Cooper may not have the stats in the stat line, but I thought he played very well.
I did too. I thought he was pretty solid.
I think Tough Borland had a tough game. Honestly, I think they tried to use Tough Borland as the spy way too much on the quarterback spy, and that's how Trace McSorley beat him, because Trace McSorley's smart. You put the slow linebacker in Tough Borland, who I don't think is totally 100%, and you use him as the spy. But luckily in the fourth quarter, when Greg Schiano said, let's put Malik Harrison as our spy, our fastest linebacker, and look what happened.
Yeah, he made that beautiful play, McSorley, where, you know, just got his legs, but that would have been, you know, probably a first down, and if not a bigger gain, because McSorley was going off all night. And the thing... The thing we got to talk about, Big Cass, I don't know how we haven't mentioned it for this long. You know it was coming, but that fourth down play call, man. I mean, what was that?
I don't know, man. I mean, why not throw the football?
It just baffles me because, all right, you call the timeout. Ohio State called the timeout. Like, plenty of time. There was plenty of time to make this play and like see the lineups and make adjustments. And you're telling me your best play call is to run it, you know, to the side with no receivers, right at Chase Young.
Well, there was a lot of questionable calls in that game, especially in that fourth down. You have to go back and say, why did Penn State go for it twice on fourth down and not kick a field goal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right there, that could have been a game. Those could have been game winners. I mean, I don't know how strong Penn State's kicker is, but, I mean, you don't want to try a freshman out there. But Chase Young was a monster on that play. If Chase Young wasn't there, Malik Harrison and Browning were right behind him.
I mean, it was just... I thought Malik Harrison, Borland, and Chase Young played the game, like probably the games of their lives on Saturday. And
Pete Werner had a nice game too.
Who did? I'm sorry.
Pete Werner.
Yeah, I mean, he had a pretty solid game, quiet game. I thought nothing.
I think honestly, Trace McSorley did his thing, and Trace McSorley was Trace McSorley. I thought the DBs. Other than that one-handed catch, that was the DBs right there. Other than that 93-yard touchdown to that fast dude for Penn State, I can't even think of his name.
KJ Hamler. That guy was a beast.
Yeah. I thought the DBs played well. I think the referees had some bad ticky-tack calls in the pass interference. And that's another thing, Penn State fans blaming the refs, saying that the Terry McLaurin had a block in the back and a hold on that touchdown. Chase Young was getting, I don't know how many times I saw Chase Young getting held. So the thing I have to give the hats off to the referees and the Zebras because it was a relatively penalty-free game. They just went out there and let them play.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good game. The one questionable call was the targeting on Isaiah Pryor. Now,
yeah, that was the questionable.
Yeah, because it really didn't look like he hit him. Like, it really didn't look like targeting to me. It just didn't. It looked like just kind of like incidental, not really intent. I mean, where he did get hit, it was off to like the side, so it wasn't like a true like thumper hit. I mean, it doesn't shock me though, because like we said on this podcast, I thought Isaiah Pryor was going to at least have like two targeting penalties this year, and you know, so far that's looking like real, real spot on. But I was expecting a bigger hit than that if it's Isaiah Pryor, to be honest. Like, they should be happy that almost he didn't kill him.
I agree. I mean, I think he just let up and everything. I thought the defense played pretty well. I mean, Trace McSorley racked up a bunch of stats and just scooped me in, but they kept him. They did really keep him contained. Yeah, he had all them stats and stuff. He just stat racked.
Now, do you think the Isaiah Pryor hit on Hamler? Do you think that really? Because I really believe that changed the game a little, because it took out their best receiver of the day, I thought, because Hamler, you're like, yeah. Juwan Johnson had that one ridiculous catch, but Hamler was killing us. I mean, he was easily over 100 yards on the day and a touchdown.
Well, yeah, he had 93-yard touchdown. Yeah, I think it changed a little bit. I really thought the Ben Victor thing catch changed everything. But it's a great game, great atmosphere. Penn State fans. I also had a Twitter argument over the weekend because Draymond Jones did actually get hurt in Penn State. 110,000 Penn State fans booing, showing no class at all.
Yeah. Do you think they thought he was trying to waste time, or like, do you think they actually meant that?
I think so, but when. There's a difference, because you can tell when there's a you can really tell when there's a cramp because the way the person lays down there. But Draymond Jones did tweak an ankle, and he was in a walking boot.
Well, too, I think fans got to realize, I feel like teams don't pull fake injuries with their best guys. And Draymond Jones, he's like the leader of that D-line with Bosa out. I mean, Chase Young had a great game, but Draymond Jones is the leader right now, and I couldn't see them, like, you know, having their leader fake an injury like that. I feel like they would be like Sean Wade or like whoever the other safety is to fake one.
Or Pete Werner.
Yeah, someone expendable for a play, not Draymond Jones. So
I agree.
So I think Penn State fans there should have used their head a little. I'm not gonna fault him though, because if they did, you know, honestly think it was time wasting, go ahead, you know. Fine. I think everyone sometimes gets a little angry about that, but if they used their heads, which I don't think they really did this week, just
no. I saw a bunch of pictures on Twitter, Facebook, of Penn State fans doing lines of cocaine.
Oh, dude, did you see? Did you see the video of the police chopper?
No, I didn't see that, but I saw a bunch of the pictures and stuff of students.
Oh, okay. Do you know the story about the police chopper?
No.
Oh, okay. Great. Story time. So for those who don't, for those who don't know, Penn State had this crazy tailgate this week, like weekend, because obviously, you know, biggest game of the year, whiteout, great time, you know, to tailgate. So one of the tailgates near the stadium, I guess, got a little out of hand, and like, I guess a horse cop like broke his wrist. I'm not sure how. It looked like they were just trying to stop drunk kids from just, you know, being idiots. Nothing crazy. But I guess the police kind of overreacted because, like, a cop, I guess, like, fell off the horse and broke his hand or something. And they called in a chopper to, like, disperse the people. But the chopper then decided to fly, like, really low, big Cass.
Uh-huh.
And it's flying really low. And, like, there's a bunch of tents. There's a bunch of tents, you know, beer kegs, hamburgers, you know, like tailgating stuff, and it's just going flying in the air everywhere, like, because the chopper's rudder's too low, and it like turned this whole like parking lot into like just a tornado. It was crazy, man. And like some people got hurt, you know, got cut up from it, but like it was like a crazy scene.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into Penn State week, outstanding.
Fun week if you're a Buckeye, I can tell you that.
Yeah, fun week if you're a Buckeye. Ohio State's primed to make a run for the Big Ten championship. They control their own destiny, in my opinion, knowing that they've got Michigan State and Michigan towards the end of the season. But before we get into it later in the show, the Buckeye lease I gave out this week. Obviously, I gave out K.J. Hill and Ben Victor, Malik Harrison. He led the team in tackles this week, and he made some crucial plays towards the in the fourth quarter, stopping Trace McSorley. Whether it was it may have been a couple yard game, but at least he made the stop before the fourth down and five stops. Ben Victor's catch, Ben Victor and my Buckeye leaf, and then Chase Young earning the other Buckeye leaf this week.
I agree. The one player I think I would throw on there would be Dobbins, because I thought he had a really good game. You know, two touchdowns. That 45-yard screen really got the drive going. Really kept us in it. I thought Dobbins had a great game, and
yeah, I did too.
They actually used him more than Weber. If you watch, if you look at the snap counts, Big Cass, they really leaned on Dobbins this game. You know, Dobbins had 51 snaps as opposed to Weber's 31. So,
I wonder if Weber was totally 100% though.
I think he was. I think they know though in the big games they're going to feed Dobbins more. Right. That's what I would assume, just because.
Well, I mean, they both were hot and they both had ran the ball pretty well, I thought, because Weber had 9 carries for like 40 some yards. So.
Oh yeah, and I know prior to the game, their distribution was about 50-50 on the dot, like carries. So it's all right if they decide to feed Dobbins a little more this game, because, you know, down the road, okay, we can feed on Weber or rely on Weber. Like, I like how they kind of rode the hot hand, but in big games, I would go with Dobbins personally if I need a big run. That's just my, like, opinion on it. I'm not sure everyone agrees with that, but.
I think you ride whoever's, because they both split series in the first quarter, and I just say you ride whoever's hot in that game.
Mm. Yeah, that could work too, Big Cass. I agree.
Yeah. So, we move on.
We do. So, oh, I completely forgot. Well, now we're going to do, I guess, you know, college football playoff rankings are upon us, and I saw really some trash takes this week in the AP poll, Big Cass. Someone still had the audacity to rank Clemson as their number one team.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I forgot the writer, but apparently he claims that he always sticks to his preseason rankings until a team loses. So he has Clemson at number one. So I figure, you know what? College football playoff poll is right around the corner. So, you know, let's release our own ranking. So we're going to do, you know, like our top four and our first two out.
All righty.
Do you want to lead us off?
Are we going to do it if just like how it's going to finish, how we think it's going to finish, or how if this was week 8 and it's a Tuesday night when the rankings come out, because it is Tuesday night here.
It is.
Should we do it like if it's Tuesday, week 8, Tuesday night, the first initial college football rankings?
Yeah, like first. So, yeah.
Okay.
First initial, based on everything you see, who should be, you know, top four in and, you know, first two out. But based on, like, the first, you know, 5 weeks of the season, not where you think they're going to finish just right now.
All right. I mean, I have my top 10, so.
I'll hear your whole top 10. Honestly, I'm cool with that. I'm going to do only 6, but I'll hear your top 10.
All right, I have number 10 with Kentucky. I think they got a nice resume. I know they're undefeated. They're riding high with the running back, and I think they're playing well. I think they deserve a number 10 ranking. At number 11, by the way, people 11 would be Auburn, so you can stay off my back, people.
Okay. No, I like that. I like that number 10 ranking.
Number 9, Penn State. I don't think they should have dropped hardly any. They lost by 1 point to Ohio State. Yeah, they struggle against Appalachian State, but they have blown out everybody else. And Trace McSorley is a legitimate Heisman candidate. Will he win it? No. Number eight, West Virginia. They're just rolling in the Big 12. I can't wait to see them play Texas and Oklahoma. I think those matchups will be outstanding. Mm-hmm. Number seven, I almost put West Virginia at seven, but I just like, nah, I can't. Clemson's number seven. I just don't think they deserve to be in the top five.
Wow.
They rushed the field against Syracuse, which is the dumbest ever.
I got to stop you there. So I found out, I feel like an idiot because I didn't know this, and it's a real shame because I was just down at their campus like a month ago. But apparently after every home game, no matter what game it is, it's like their tradition. It's like their karma that they rush the field. I had no idea about this, Big Cass, and everyone's like, how could you not know about this? And I'm like, because you know what? I don't know Clemson football. Like, that's not a known fact, but apparently they rush the field.
So they rush the field when they beat the Citadel 59-7?
Absolutely. You know what? When they beat Furman week one, they do that. Yeah, it's like their karma.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I'm not faulting any of us for not knowing that. That's just something that's stupid and shouldn't be a thing. I don't care if it's their tradition. Like, it's a stupid tradition. I'll say it on here. It's a stupid tradition. But
it's a stupid tradition.
Yeah, and Syracuse almost had them, too.
Yeah. Number six, I have Oklahoma. I think, honestly, I don't think they're a strong six. I think if Kylan Murray wasn't the quarterback for Oklahoma, Oklahoma may have lost to Army, maybe. Kylan Murray is a really good athlete and a really good football player. Number five, I have LSU, just because they have an outstanding resume. They beat two top 10 opponents. They also beat Southern Louisiana Tech. They probably beat the SCLSU Mud Dogs, I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But they got Bama coming up. Joey Burrow was SEC Player of the Week, so hats off to him. And then if the college football playoff started and if this was the college football rankings week one, Notre Dame gets number four. They also have a great resume. They beat Michigan. They've beaten Stanford. I think they finally found their quarterback, and they control their own destiny to get into the college football playoff because, unlike everybody else, they don't have a conference championship.
I agree.
Number three, I have Georgia, just because Georgia's a very good football team, but they really haven't played anybody, in my opinion. They'll play a couple of teams here coming up. When they play Kentucky and Florida, Auburn? They play Auburn.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they always play Auburn. Yeah. It's like their rival.
Yeah, so, and then at number two, I'll have Ohio State, just because they also have a great resume with beating TCU, and I don't care what anybody says, TCU, it should be in the top 25. They are a good football team. And at number one, number two, I have Ohio's. You know, like I said, Ohio State. We beat Penn State on the road. We won two ranked games on the road, and we've blown out everybody at home. We should be number two, but that's not what happens. And then Alabama's number one. They haven't played nobody, but they've blown everybody out.
Yeah, Big Cass, I love the rankings. I'll give my top six real quick. At six, I got Clemson. Yeah, I have them six. I think you had them seven. I have them up a little. I just think their defense is too good, and I think they'll always be lurking somehow. Number five, I have Georgia. I actually have them out of my top four. I think they're very mediocre. I don't think they do anything great, really, honestly. I don't think they have an identity on offense. I really don't. I think their defense is solid, but they haven't played anyone. Like, Tennessee's not a juggernaut.
Tennessee stinks.
Yeah, they're so bad. Yeah, Georgia literally fumbled the ball and like a fullback picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown.
A fullback.
Yeah, like Tennessee's terrible. Number four, I have LSU, dude. I gotta put them in my top four. I mean, the win against Miami, the win at Auburn, They've been pretty solid so far in the SEC. I think they're honestly better than Georgia. That's my opinion on it. I think that they are going to beat Georgia when they play them.
Do they even play Georgia?
Yeah, in a couple weeks.
Wow, look at that resume for LSU.
Yeah, they play and then they play Alabama too. So you're telling me a team can beat, you know, if they beat one of those two, if they beat Alabama or Georgia, I think they're going to get in the playoff. Like, you're telling me if your only loss is to Alabama and you've beaten Georgia, Miami, and Auburn, that's not playoff worthy?
It is, because that means they would have to hope Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC title game, though.
Well, yeah, the thing is that they're only – like, the only way they can either make it is that they beat Alabama and win the SEC or – but, like, they lose – so they could beat – they could lose to Georgia but beat Alabama and win the SEC, they're in. Or they win out, they're in. Or they lose to Georgia – no, lose to Alabama, beat Georgia, and finish, like, 11-1. I could see them maybe sneaking in there.
What if this happens? They beat Georgia. Georgia beats Alabama. But they beat Georgia. They lose to Alabama. But Georgia beats Alabama for the SEC title game. Who do you put in? LSU or Alabama?
It's got to be LSU then, I feel like.
Yeah, the Bama fans were out. We're defending national champions. We lost to the SEC champions.
Because I think a little, like, recency bias – yeah, dude, I think a little recency bias would take place, and the voters would remember Alabama's most recent loss, and then that, I feel like, would bump LSU up.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Sorry, I'm coughing. I'm having a little coughing fit. But number three, I got Notre Dame. I think they're pretty good. I think this Ian Book kid, their quarterback, he's a stud. He can throw the ball. He's dynamic. I think he's everything Brian Kelly wants in a quarterback. And I really think Notre Dame could honestly run the table. Unless, like, they play one of their hardest games on next weekend, Virginia Tech. And then they have about USC. I think they have Navy. But no one else really spectacular.
Virginia Tech's tough.
Not real. I mean, they just lost
to Old Dominion.
Yeah, I know. So they got to get by. If they get by VT, it looks like they're going to run the table.
But didn't Virginia Tech beat somebody last week?
Duke, I want to say.
Yeah, Duke. They crushed Duke.
I mean, we shall see what happens with them. I don't predict Notre Dame losing to VT.
I don't either.
Number two. I got the Buckeyes just because I think they're the number one team in the nation, but the number one team is Alabama because my rule is if you're the defending national champ and you haven't lost yet, you cannot not be number one.
Right. Totally agree.
Yep. And with that, Big Cast, let's get into our Cardale Jones tweet of the weeks.
All right.
Tweets of the week.
I have a funny one. This guy calls himself McNeil.
Oh, yeah, he's funny. Reflog or whatever?
Reflog McNeil, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is not sports-related, but it says, he posted this 2 hours ago. My son's swim practice got canceled due to lightning. Swim practice is indoors. I don't understand this sport.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I couldn't find anything else, and then I happened to see that. Also, too, our buddy, I have another one from during the game, Penn State game last week. Our buddy Mecca Don said, if Ohio State comes back and wins this, I will do cartwheels naked outside.
Oh, no. Yeah, I saw that.
I wanted to ask him, like, did you actually do his cartwheels?
Oh, he did. No, he posted a video.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, don't check it out too much, but
yeah, I
know. Yeah, saw some of the video. He actually did it.
To see if the video is up.
Oh yeah, no, he did it, dude. I watched like about 5 seconds. Like, oh my god, he actually did it. I thought that was really funny, dude. Yeah, he was He was having a fun time on Saturday, I can see.
Yeah.
I was too. I think everyone was.
Oh, and our own then Tennessee Jeff came out today and said that he called a couple of the coaches and asked them if he could have a birthday cake at the Woody Hayes Center during his birthday during the bye week, and asked if he can have a big enough cake so that Urban Meyer can pop out of it.
What was the answer?
Well, I just saw on Twitter. I just saw on Facebook, and yeah, Tennessee Jeff.
I love that, man. I mean, that's so fun. I hope he gets everything he wants for his birthday.
Yeah.
I feel like Ohio State owes him one after he led that rally.
Well, he bought him cake, like the kickoff, the very first game. He brought in this big sheet cake, and then the day Urban Meyer comes back and starts coaching that week, he heads to the Woody Hayes and delivers another cake.
This man just loves cake.
I love Tennessee Jeff. I think he's got a weird obsession with Urban Meyer.
I think he just looks up to Urban Meyer, like, just, like, respects him.
Probably.
I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like I do the same if I was, like, closer to Columbus.
I think so, too, but it is kind of funny.
I agree. My tweet of the week goes to Dwayne Haskins. So, 11 Warriors posted the video of Sharif Miller saying, "If you hit him, he's going to fold," about Dwayne Haskins. And then Dwayne Haskins quote tweets it and says, "You poking the wrong line, buddy. Hashtag shh." And then, you know, as we know, he goes out there, beats Penn State, comeback fashion, and then also, you know, throws Sharif Miller to the ground during the game, not backing down at all.
Yeah, that's an outstanding one. I saw that. I was like, oh, boy. And then Aaron, our good buddy Aaron, said, "Oh crap! Didn't mean to do that. I hit a button. Sorry."
All good.
Our good buddy Aaron said that you know, you don't want to trash talk and everything, but Aaron, our good buddy Aaron, is also one of those Penn State fans that are salty about Dwayne Haskins getting Player of the Week.
I mean, though, what did he do not to get the Big Ten Player of the Week? How did it – I thought I could have sworn something, Big Cass. I saw that it said our national title odds decreased after this.
Really?
Yeah, and I might be wrong here. I'm pretty sure at first, too, Dwayne Haskins' Heisman odds decreased. Like, explain that to me. What are people blind or, like
– I don't know. It's beyond me.
Like, what does a guy have to do for his Heisman odds to increase in our national? We just beat the number 9 team in the country on the road. Like, what do you want them to be, number 8? And
yeah, I don't know.
It sounds like this literally sounds like something Mark May would pick at.
Mark May did tweet out said no Joey Bosa, Ohio State lost. I mean, no Nick Bosa, Ohio State lost this week.
No. Nope, he's wrong. Oh, you know what, too, I want to bring up, too? Speaking of Joey Bosa, didn't Chase Young's performance kind of remind you of Joey Bosa's performance during the whiteout?
A little bit. I mean, Joey's was more – I mean, granted, Chase Young had an outstanding play, but Joey's was more memorable, pushing the offensive tackle into the running back, into the quarterback. And by the way, where was Miles Sanders at the whole game?
Yeah, you know, I predicted that wrong. I'm going to just come out and say, yeah, you know what, maybe I was wrong about Saquon this whole time, Big Cass, and I think maybe Saquon Barkley is the truth now. And I was, you know, I just thought, oh, Ohio State was so dominant and Miles Sanders was going to, you know, be better. But, I mean, we basically shut him down just as much.
Right. So.
All right. Oh, sorry, Big Cass.
No, you're good.
So, I mean, We have another game this week. Potential, I'm not going to say it's a trap game, but there's always, I guess, potential for letdown because after Penn State last year, we went into Iowa and got absolutely, you know, smacked.
Thank God we don't play Iowa.
Yeah, smacked around. We have this week, we have Indiana at home. They're 4-1 though, Big Cass, and they've played us tough in the past.
Yeah, they played us tough, but I think this year is totally different than years past. I don't think Urban Meyer and his staff is going to allow another letdown like what happened in Iowa. Plus, Indiana hasn't beat us in 30 years, and I see this being closer than what people think though, because of that possible letdown, and I think Ohio State may get shocked in like the first half maybe and be like, okay, it's time to wake up, kind of like they did last year, and Ohio State finally just blows them away.
I mean, I feel like every time Indiana plays us, we always win, but I feel like at one point they're either like leading or they're close to leading during the game, and I'm just going to go through, I guess, their best players. So their quarterback, his name's Peyton Ramsey. He's pretty solid. He has 8 touchdown passes on the year, 71% completion percentage. You know, can kind of scramble a little, has 170 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. He's fairly dynamic. He's not like Richard Lego last year, you know, just a big tall guy with a big arm, not really mobile. He's kind of more of an agile guy.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the running back, his name's Stevie Scott. He's from Syracuse. He's a big runner, dude. I mean, he's having a pretty good year. 464 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. I feel like he's a pretty solid player, and I believe he's only a freshman.
Yeah, he's only a freshman.
Yeah, that's pretty good for a freshman, man.
It's outstanding. Indiana's, I think they're having a strong season. I just don't think they've played any quality opponents either.
I mean, they played Michigan State last week, and yeah, they lost, but I mean, it wasn't terrible.
We got them at home, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think we honestly win this game, but I mean, they played Rutgers last week. They won by 7.
Okay.
They played Michigan State though 2 weeks ago, and they won by 14. That was it. I mean, they lost by 14, but I mean, it was a decent game. The fact that they only beat Rutgers by 7 though is not impressive.
No.
But and then Big Cass, they have 3 decent receivers. They have, his name's Wop Filer. He's their leading receiver. 18 catches, 194 yards, 1 touchdown. Donovan Hale, he's their number 2 receiver. Well, he's not their number 2. We all know Nick Westbrook. He's their number 1. He's their stud receiver. He's having kind of a quiet year, though. Only 15 catches, 160 yards, 1 touchdown. And then Donovan Hale, he has 3 touchdowns, and he's, like, technically their second receiver statistically. So, they have some decent threats on the outside.
Yeah, they do. And DBs will have to, like, every time we play Indiana, they'll have to be on high alert. I think Ohio State will be fine.
I mean, too, I think that J.K. Dobbins is going to kind of – he's going to carry over from what he brought Saturday, and I think he's going to go for at least over 100 against the Hoosiers, just because last year, too, he was really successful against them in his debut.
Yeah, I also think that Haskins gets another 300-yard game.
You know what? I would be surprised if he didn't. And going into the season, too, I didn't know. I honestly, this was crazy that Haskins is putting up these numbers. He is on pace, Big Cass, to shatter 2 Ohio State single season passing records. It's passing yards in single season and passing touchdowns. He's on pace. Just through 12 regular season games, the regular season, not counting in, you know, the conference championship, bowl games, or, you know, 2 playoff games potentially, he's on pace to throw for 45 touchdowns and, you know, shatter the Joe Germain single season passing record yard by like 200 yards easily. And that's only through 12 games. So Dwayne Haskins is on a tear, man.
Yeah, he is. And he also has 19 touchdown passes this season. The next Big Ten player to have them, the next two quarterbacks have 18 combined. Trace McSorley and Ramsey.
Yeah, I mean Ramsey's a good player, like, for Indiana. I mean, he's kind of like a Trace McSorley, like, same type of player, just, you know, a little bit less.
Absolutely.
Now, moving on from Indiana, unless we want to get a final word about, I mean, all right, I'll talk about their kicker too, because I felt like this is always interesting. His name's Logan Justice. He's actually a decent kicker, man. Like, college kickers, they're an interesting group. He is an 83.3% field goal kicker. He's made 5 of 6 for his long is 44 yards, so he's got some range on him, actually.
Yep, a little bit.
That's not bad for a college kicker. You would think Indiana would have a bad kicker, and he's actually decent, so keep that in mind. But as we pivot away from Indiana, let's talk about our love to see it, hate to see it this week, Big Cass.
All right, before we get into love to see it, hate to see it, and then into our SEC segment, how about the Ohio State basketball team getting a huge commitment? Four-star forward E.J. Little decided to come to Ohio State over Illinois and Missouri. He's the number one. Now Ohio State jumps from number 19 in the country to number 4. In the top 4 for the class of 2019. That class is going to be outstanding, the highest ranked class since 2010.
Wow, I mean, that's amazing, Big Cass, because, like, Chris Holtmann, what he's accomplishing so far is fantastic, and I really think we have a chance to become a national contender now, because look at the names who were up there in this recruiting class with USC, Louisville, Kentucky, and Villanova. Yeah, USC, that's weird, but Kentucky, Nova, and Louisville, those are three powerhouses, and we're in the same class as them now.
As long as Duke and North Carolina and Kansas are behind us, I'm fine.
Oh, 100%. So,
all right, love to see it, hate to see it.
All right, what I hated to see, Big Cass, was last night the Broncos blew a 10-point lead to Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs.
That Chiefs team is unbelievable. Them and the Rams are. Oof.
I mean, it wasn't the fact that we blew the lead. It was just the fact that how good Pat Mahomes looks, and the fact that I guess he's going to be in the Broncos division for the next 10 years at least. I mean, dude, he literally threw – he was getting sacked by Von Miller and threw it with his opposite hand, a strike to the receiver first down on, like, the most important drive.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is outstanding. Sorry, folks. Sorry, I yawned, folks. What I love to see is non-sports related. Toys R Us cancels its bankruptcy and plans a revival.
What?
Yeah, Wall Street Journal.
Dude, that's news to me. You know what the funny thing is? I should know this because the Toys R Us HQ is literally in my hometown.
Yeah, that's what it says. Breaking 911 news.
That is awesome to hear. That just got me a little excited then. Good for Wayne, New Jersey. Proud of my town. What I love to see, Big Cass, is the fact that I'm going to the Broncos Jets game on Sunday. I'm pipe. I'm psyched. Gonna be easy win. Darnold's gonna throw 5 picks, and it's gonna be a great day.
Yeah. I'm double checking up on this Twitter tweet just to make sure it's right. See if it's actually trending. About Toys R Us.
Here, I'm looking it up right now. Is Toys R Us coming back on Google?
Wow, the Globe?
Yeah.
IGN? Yeah, it's legit. Wall Street Journal. How about that?
Toys R Us, not dead yet after shock. move to cancel bankruptcy. Wow, Toys R Us is not dead. And you know who else isn't dead yet, Big Cass? That team up north.
Yeah. Well, hold on. My hate to see it this week is Tyler Eifert.
Oh, yeah. He's dead. He's dead.
That was a gruesome ankle injury. He was having a fan. I thought he was having a nice season, comeback season, a nice. And that ankle, just another obstacle for him to build upon. In my opinion, I love Tyler Eifert. I love what he brought to the Bengals. But is it time to retire?
I don't know. It's just a broken leg. It's not like. I feel like. I feel like a broken leg is easier to come back from than like a patella.
Well, it was a little bit of his. It was just nasty.
Yeah, I mean, it was gruesome. I was playing him in fantasy, though, and I was like, ooh, stinks for me, that guy. Even though I think he put up more points than my one tight end, so jokes on me.
He put up 12 points.
Yeah. I had, like, Ebron. He put up, like, 10, but as I was saying, though, Big Cass, you know who's not dead but barely alive? That team up north, I mean, let's – as we get into, I guess, what is that team up north up to, man? They barely survived against Northwestern this weekend.
Yeah, they did, and Northwestern's a tough, actually a little bit of a tough place to play.
I guess. I mean, they were getting their
little bit.
Teeth
That's why
kicked
I said
in
a little bit. But Chase Winovich had a nice game. Defensive player of the week with Chase Young. But Michigan found a way to get it done, and they did. And still, you know, last week I was sipping the Kool-Aid. Well, I'm still sipping it because I still haven't – I feel like they haven't made that step. We'll find out when they play Michigan State and Penn State here in the next couple weeks. If Michigan – but how about Jim Harbaugh making a meme this week of him flinching?
Dude, that was hilarious. I mean, it looked like he's never seen a football in his life, like a 4-year-old not knowing how to catch a ball coming right for his face.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, did you hear what he said at his press conference about homecoming?
Oh yeah, he's like, oh.
Second of it, where he said homecoming is one of the most interesting words in the human dictionary.
It's really not, Jim. I hate to break it to you, buddy. It is. It just means they're coming home. It's literally. There's nothing more to it. He's like, oh man. He's talking about what, like, about Thanksgiving and stuff, and like the family. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is. It's college homecoming, you nincompoop. It's college homecoming. Like, he's like talking about, like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to eat some turkey at Thanksgiving, like, and then get my butt kicked by the Buckeyes. No, dude, it was, like, it was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was so funny.
He, like, the way this guy made homecoming sound, it was, like, some huge, like, philosophical, like, meaning. It was, like, dude, no, it's just, like, there's, like, some crappy parade that the college throws, and then a bunch of people who, like, are more important than they are at, like, these courts and everything. Like, dude, that brings me to my point too, Big Cass. Have you ever gone to an Ohio State homecoming game and they have the homecoming court at halftime and literally no one cares?
Yeah, it's homecoming this weekend.
That's why
they play homecoming games against Indiana or Rutgers or teams like that.
You're like, it's a good thing you're getting married Sunday. I mean, on Saturday, because like just going to the homecoming game and having to see that like that stupid little ceremony, it might be worth missing, to be honest.
Like, I get it in high school that it's really nice, but like, who cares that there's a homecoming king and queen for college?
Yeah, dude, I just want to go and, like...
How do you vote for that? Like, how do you know that Sarah, whatever her name is, that's in psychology major, and you are in accounting, and you don't have any classes associated with her, how do you know she's deserving as homecoming queen?
Dude, exactly. Like, petition to make Chase Young homecoming king. Like, and
Mitchell or someone like Mikayla Waterman, since she's the star basketball player this year, homecoming queen, or you know, the diving champion who beat Alabama last week or something. You know,
agree. Like, not just some nobody who like did some website. I mean, I'm done talking about homecoming though. Jim Harbaugh, this is what you've done to us. You're talking about homecoming now. Dude, I can't believe he said that though, but yeah. And then, oh, another thing about Harbaugh, apparently he still doesn't release the starters, because I saw a tweet from Darren Rovell, who I don't know why I even went on his profile, but he said it made his blood boil that he's like, he called Northwestern a rival of Michigan's, and he said it made his blood boil that Harbaugh still didn't reveal his starters.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I'm going to tell you what, too. Hats off to the University of Colorado a couple years ago, given that fake depth chart to Michigan because Harbaugh wouldn't release his roster.
Dude, that was classic.
That was the greatest, like Eric Cartman, you know, playing offensive guard.
They got Butters at like wide receiver.
Like, it was crazy. Like, they had like Al Bundy at running back, and I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, I gotta look this up right now. This was gold. I remember that game too. That was an interesting game. I remember Jabril Peppers. He had a touchdown return, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, Heisman and everything. But
2016.
You found it?
Yeah, Colorado trolls Jim Harbaugh with a fake depth chart. Here it is.
Read it off for the fans.
All right, punt returner Lloyd Christmas and Harry Dunn from Dumb and Dumber. the holder, Frederick Frankenstein. And Willy Wonka is the backup. Punter, Happy Gilmore. And then his backup is Roy McAvoy. Place kicker, Scotty Smalls, 4'5", 110 pounds. And then Squints, those guys are from...
Sandlot, right?
All right, here we go. At halfback, the Hansen brothers, all of them, 6'1", 95. The Romer dude, Bill Walton, 7', 245 pounds. And his backup is the dude Lebowski.
The big free Lebowski?
Safety. Yeah, at free safety was Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Defensive tackle, number 007, James Bond. Here we go. Let's see. I'm trying to find the quarterback real quick.
Imagine Bernie Sanders trying to like target someone at safety.
Yeah. Left tackle was Eric Cartman, 3'5", 190.
Really good low center of gravity.
The left tackle was Fat Albert.
Dude, you're not getting past Fat Albert. Zero shot.
So, at center was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wrong center, but I like the creativeness.
Right tackle was Butch Cassidy.
Okay.
Tight end was Clark Griswold.
Clark Griswold.
At quarterback was Elmer Fudd at 5'2", 165. His backup was Danny DeVito. Any other funny ones? Oh, see, at safety, weak safety, Stewie Griffin at 1'2", 40 pounds. His backup was Peter Griffin, 47, number 47, 6'3", pounds.
Oh, dude, they should have made Peter the center, like in that one Family Guy episode when he plays for the Patriots.
Yeah. And then, yeah, those are some notable funny ones.
And you know what? I feel like he 100% fell for the Lloyd Christmas at punt returner. I feel like that totally sounds like a punt returner name.
Yeah, I mean,
if you haven't seen Dumb and Dumber, you hear Lloyd Christmas is returning punts. Like, I'm expecting a dude with dreadlocks back there.
Yeah.
Just you know, quick dude dreadlocks, like 93 speed in Madden, like. But yeah, good job, Harbaugh. I hope someone does that to him again.
Hopefully. And I liked when Shelly Meyer and Urban trolled him in 2016 when Shelly called Urban and said, "Can you pick up some milk?" So
that's funny. All right,
let's bash the SEC, brother.
All right, yeah. So, I mean, this one I kind of have – I'm just kind of mad again that these teams are scheduling FCS teams in the middle of October now. Like, Vanderbilt, they scheduled – what team was it?
Tennessee State.
Yeah, Tennessee State, and they're an FCS team. And his name is Christian Abercrombie. He's a linebacker. He's really, injured. Like, he's critically injured, fighting for his life right now. And it's just because, honestly, the talent – I know it's Vanderbilt, but this is an SEC team versus a FCS team – in the middle of the season, and I just don't think it's fair for the kids to be going up against people who are just so much bigger and faster, if the SEC claims these athletes are. And it's a real shame that a kid got hurt this bad.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't like it. I know that, it wasn't FCS, but Alabama played Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, I'm shocked no one, died there.
Exactly.
It's just...
But Ohio State plays Rutgers, and it's not their fault because Rutgers is so bad, and Rutgers happens to be a conference game.
Yeah, we didn't... Ohio State wasn't let them in the conference. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, I'm sure if Ohio State had the choice, Rutgers wouldn't even be in the conference.
I'd rather have Buffalo.
Yeah, I'd rather have New Jersey State Technology of Institution or something like that.
NJIT?
Yeah.
Dude, NJIT, I love. Remember when they beat Michigan in basketball?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Lost to UC Davis. So
I know. I just found that hilarious because one of my buddies, he actually went to NJIT. I've actually been down to the campus a couple times. It's a cool place. It's just in Newark, so, you just got to be really careful. But, yeah, they don't even have a football team, though, Big Cass.
Yeah, University of Phoenix. There we go.
That, you know what? That'd be interesting.
The SEC scheduled. They might as well schedule DeVry. They might as well schedule Capital, Otterbein, Ohio Dominican. Mount Union, Mount Union would be fun to see.
Oh, dude, Mount Union eats. I've seen their campus too. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah. Now, claims they have all these national championships, but they don't know crap when they hear about all the Mount Union national championships.
Dude, yeah, the Mount Union is ridiculous. I'm looking at the SEC schedule. It's actually not that terrible this week.
No, they actually got some good games this week.
But Ole Miss plays Louisiana Monroe, so.
Boom!
Just thrilling.
Monroe might win that.
Maryland Monroe defeats the Land Sharks. Good job.
There we go.
But as we kind of, Big Cast, man, as we wrap up here, let's do as we always do. Let's give the keys to the game, and then. Yeah, and then I might throw a bet prediction out there.
Let's see. Keys to the game, don't let this be a letdown.
Yeah.
That's it.
My key to the game, feed the backs again. You know, let's get this running game rolling. I feel like we really did, like we got Dobbins going. I feel like, but I want to see him really like put up like 200 yards, and I think he can because he did last year against Indiana, like I was saying. And this is why, as we kind of wrap up here, I want to say that make sure you use promo code NUTS25 for MyBookie, and you can bet on MyBookie that J.K. Dobbins will have over 100 yards. So use that promo code. They'll match you dollar for dollar up to $1,000, and they'll give you an additional $25. And use promo code NUTS25, and I'm going to say bet J.K. Dobbins over 100 yards this week, Big Cass.
Yeah, and if you want to bet that Big Cass cries at his wedding, you can go ahead and do that.
Yep, what are the odds on that?
I think they're pretty high, man. I'm
so happy for you. And I mean, as we wrap up this episode, I just want to say from a bunch of nuts and all the listeners, like, good luck on your wedding, at your wedding, Big Cass, and enjoy your week off next week. And you know, your honeymoon, where are you going for your honeymoon, by the way?
Going to Florida.
Florida. Oh, great spot.
Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Where's, is that in the Panhandle?
No. It's on the Atlantic side, about 45 minutes from Orlando.
Oh, nice, nice. So, south of Orlando?
A little bit north, because it's not close, it's near, like, you have to drive through Jacksonville to get to.
Oh, cool, 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 man. But, you know what, have a great wedding, man. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is episode 21 of, oh! Game predictions. What's the final score?
45-6.
I'm gonna go 48-17. All right.
That's Indiana Ohio State game.
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like they'll score some points somehow. They always do in some weird way. But as always, Big Cass, win the moment, man, and go Bucks. This has been